Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in the next few moments, what I want to do, and then we're going to pray some more, I want to talk to you about on the topic of keep on praying. Keep on praying. Prayer is the key to seeing the power of God released in our life. And sometimes God answers prayer on the first time out. We pray and it happens. It's awesome when that happens. Other times it requires that you and I keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. So what I want to do is I want to look at a parable Jesus told, Luke chapter 18. Honestly, and I was just thinking, the reason why I'm sharing it with you tonight, I referenced it a couple of weeks ago when I spoke on prayer on Sunday morning. I referenced it last month when I was talking just kind of as an aside. But really, as I was thinking about that, it made me realize that this parable is foundational to what much of what I believe about prayer. This parable has encouraged me because you see, a lot of times what happens with people is when they don't receive, they prayed, they didn't receive, they see that delay on God's part as a sign of his rejection, when in fact it's not that at all. It's his directing in their life. It's God's working in their life. And just because God hasn't said yes yet doesn't mean he's not going to say yes ever. God is a God who answers prayer. And sometimes in order to receive that answer, we have to keep on praying. Now, before we look at Luke chapter 18, let me just kind of set the stage. Jesus tells this parable, and he tells it to the disciples. And what he does is he gives them a story. It is a story that involves two different contrasts. The first contrast is between an unjust judge who doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about God. He's a wicked man. He has no interest in God. He has no interest in people. He's totally consumed with himself. In fact, twice we read in the parable two lines about him. He said, this is Jesus, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. And then this judge says about himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men. People say, you know, say it about him, and he says it about himself. The phrase cared about men is very interesting, especially in an Oriental culture. We don't think this way in our Western culture, but in an Oriental culture, the one thing you don't want to do is lose face. So you never want to bring shame on your family. You never want to bring shame on yourself. And here is this judge, and he has no sense of shame. He doesn't care what people say. He doesn't care if his actions not only hurt people, he doesn't care if it makes them look bad, which is almost unthinkable in an Oriental culture. As well, verse 6, he's an unjust judge. And so Jesus contrasts this wicked, unjust judge who doesn't care about God, godly things, or people. He contrasts him with God. And our God, we know, is compassionate. Our God, we know, is our Father, our loving Heavenly Father. Our God not only cares about godly things, our God cares about people. So there's this contrast. You have the judge and you have God. Then there's another contrast. This involves a widow. She has no husband. That doesn't mean that she is older necessarily, because girls would marry at 12, 13, 14 years old. It would not be uncommon for death to intersect the course of a family life, and somebody would be a widower or a widow, and she's a widow. It's a huge problem for her, though. In a male-dominated society, she has no one to care for her. Probably she has children. So she has the burden of caring for them financially, and probably very little way to do that. Not only that, we read from the, it's implied in the parable that what she's asking for is just, that what she's asking for would be within the confines of the law, that the law is on her side. But because she's a woman, she cannot go into the court officially. Because she's a widow and she doesn't have money and doesn't have connections, she has no one who can represent her, who can help her solve the problem. She is literally on her own. She has no connections. She has no clout. She has no cash. All she has is her persistence. And she's contrasted with us. And the point of the parable is this, that sometimes in order to receive from God, you have to keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. Here's what Jesus says, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them. Right away, we know the point of the parable. That they should always pray and not give up. That they should always pray and not give up. The context, Luke chapter 18, follows a chapter, Luke 17, where Jesus has been talking about the end times. And the point is simply this, when the answer to your prayer seems as slow in coming as his return to earth, don't give up. When you feel like it's taking forever, don't give up. When you're tired of praying, don't give up. When others have stopped praying with you, don't give up. When others have forgotten about your need, don't give up. Because if you give up, it's over. If you stop praying, you will not receive. Now, I want you to notice three things about this parable, what it teaches us about prayer. First of all, it teaches us about prayer and frequency. Look at it in verse 2. It says, he said, this is Jesus telling the parable, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. So this widow comes and she needs something from the judge. She has no money. She has no influence. She has no friends in high places. So it's like this. She comes and she knocks on the door. She knocks on the door. The judge opens it. The judge looks at her. The judge says, who are you? She says who she is. He says, excuse me, have we met before? She says, no, we've never met before. Do I know your family? No, you don't know my family. Do you have some money? If you want something done, it's gonna cost you a little money. Do you have any money? I don't have any money. Well, what? Then I'm sorry, I can't help you. She said, wait, I've got a need. Here's my need. He says, listen, I don't know you. You don't know me. You don't have money. I'm not helping you. Slam the door shut. He hears a knock again. Who is it? It's me. I need your help. You're the only one who can help me. He says, don't you get it? I'm not helping you. Leave me alone. The next day, she's at his door again. She knocks again. He says, listen, I'm not helping you. Slams the door shut. She's knocking again. He yells back, I'm going in the courtyard where I can't hear you knock. She keeps knocking. Later that day, she's knocking again. Who is it? She says, it's me. By now, he already knows the voice. He doesn't have to ask who it is. Didn't I tell you no? Listen, if you think by your badgering, you're gonna get an answer from me, it's not happening. Go away. And this goes on, and this goes on, and this goes on. She knocks daily. She knocks more than daily. She is knocking in the morning. She's knocking at noon. She's knocking at night. The judge is saying, listen, leave me alone. I will have you arrested. I will get a restraining order against you. I'm a judge. I can do it. And she's still every day knocking on his door. This is not a once thing. It's not a twice thing. She's constantly showing up, and constantly she's not getting any help. And this goes on not for days, not for weeks, but for months. She's constantly knocking. And he says to himself this, look at it in verse 4. Finally, he said to himself, I mean, she's bugged him so much that now he's talking to himself. Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she is driving me nuts, I will see she gets justice so that she won't eventually, and that word eventually is translated often forever. She's coming. He understands something about her. She's not going away. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he doesn't say. It doesn't matter if he ignores her. It doesn't matter if he threatens her. It doesn't matter if it's hot. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It doesn't matter if there's a rainstorm. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. It doesn't matter what's happening. This lady is coming, and this lady is asking, and he clearly gets the idea. She will ask until she gets it, even if it takes forever. Think about that. He understands she is never going to stop asking. Are you that committed to receiving from God? How bad do you want what you need from the Lord? How much do you feel? Do you really feel God is the one who's going to have to make this happen if it's going to happen, and I'm going to ask until it happens? And I'm not going to be put off by the fact it didn't happen tonight, or it didn't happen tomorrow, or it didn't happen last year, or it didn't happen last month. I'm not going to be put off by that. I'm in this to win it, and I am going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to, if I have to pray till I show up in heaven and ask him face to face, that's what I'm going to do. Do you have that kind of resolve? That's what Jesus, men ought to pray always. That's what it means not to give up. God, you're not going to be able to give me the slip. You're not going to be able to ignore me. You're not going to be able, I mean, it's this idea. God, I am going to be at your throne. I'm going to be in front of you with this request until I get what I need. It's that tenacity that says, God, the answer, you have the answer. You can help me. Again, it's not trying to change God's mind. It is simply saying, I am going to hang on and hold on in prayer and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying till I get the answer. And notice what else he says. So she won't eventually or forever wear me out with her coming. In other words, she is going to give me, the idea is literally a black eye. Not a black eye in what people think. He's just saying she is literally beating me up. It's very interesting. Finally, and listen to this, verse 6, look at it. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. I mean, he says, I'm going to give her what she's asking. Now, this is the whole point. If an unjust judge who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about man, will give in to a woman because she continually pestered him, what will God do for those who cry out to him day and night? That's what Jesus is saying. If you're bothered by the illustration, you need to let go of that. Jesus is the one who creates it. You say, well, I don't think you have to do that with God. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what Jesus thinks. So I just don't think you have to do that. Well, then don't do it and don't receive from the Lord. I mean, at some point, there are some things, and I'm just saying, I've seen this over and over again. I told you about, you know, in my healing, just coming every week. I said, I'm going to go every single time, and I'm in three services on Sunday, so I'm going to be in three services, and I'm going to be down front in three services, and I'm going to go until I get the healing. And when I didn't get it on a day, I never thought in terms of, oh, I didn't get it today. I thought in terms of, one of these days, I'm going to get it. I mean, too many times people are like, well, if I don't get it, then I'm going to be, listen, you know what? Just keep going. I was thinking as I was getting ready for the message of a lot that Debbie and I bought, and we decided not to build on it, and people started saying to me, because we were like, we're going to sell the lot, and people started saying, you know, that lot will take forever to sell. You never should have bought it. Somebody said to me, they heard from somebody who made the comment, the Lindles, this is what they said, the Lindles will never sell that lot. And they said, what does that make you think? I said, I love it. They said, why do you say that? I said, because that is material for a miracle. When people say it can't happen, if we pray, it will happen. Now, here's what Debbie and I did. Every single day. It might be in the morning, it might be at night, it might be in the morning and at night, it might be at the morning, it might be at noon, and it might be at night. I mean, every day, Debbie and I, or Debbie or I, but every day I did. I know I did. I don't know how many days she did. She did a lot of days, but I'm wired, you know, where I get into discipline and I'm like, it's happening. So every day I went by that lot, and every day I prayed out loud. Every day I said, in the name of Jesus, lot be sold. Every day I did. Every day. I mean, I often walked on the lot and said it. I parked by the lot and said it. I said, you know what? This lot is going to sell. I know it is. People said, you're asking too much money. People said, you'll never sell it if you're trying to do it by for sale by owner. It's never going to happen. I'd be like, the lot's going to sell. I just know God is going to do it. The week that we sold the lot, and we did sell it way quick. People said it'd take 5 years. Didn't take 5 years. It was a matter of months. The week that it sold, four people wanted to buy it. I'm just simply saying it was a testimony to me again that, listen, sometimes you just have to pray and pray and pray. Listen, on the Joplin building, every day I'm praying, Lord, you know that we need a building there. You know that people are saying there are no buildings there. Lord, you know that people are, whatever people say, I love when people say it can't happen, it won't happen, it's impossible to happen. I say, you know what? I know God, and God does the impossible all the time. So I don't have any worry about it, but I do have a fervency about it, and I do have a frequency about it, and I'm going to pray about it all the time because I know there's a God who answers prayer. Listen, if we pray, anything is possible. If we don't pray, it's all over. The question is, will you pray and 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 pray some more and keep on praying with a faith-filled heart that says, listen, I don't know what day he's going to do it. I just know that he will. I don't know how it's going to happen. That doesn't matter. I don't know who he's going to send. I don't know when he's going to heal me. I just know that I'm going to keep going, and one of these days, he will. You go and go and go. That's the attitude. I'm going to go, 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 I'm going to go. Some of you have quit way too soon. You have a marriage that's in trouble, and you quit praying. Pray. You have a child that's troubling you, a situation that's not working in your home. Pray. You got a problem at work. You prayed once. You prayed twice. You stop praying, and you wonder why you still have the problem. And you're saying, God didn't answer my prayer. And God said, you didn't keep on praying. We have to pray, pray, pray. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. So there's prayer and frequency. The Lord is simply saying some things will only come by persistent prayer. Second, there's a fervency in prayer. Look at this in verse 3. And there was a widow who kept coming to him with a plea. The word for plea there in the Greek is an extended, random harangue. I mean, that's like long. It's ongoing, it's frequent, and it's this idea of I'm going to go almost to the point of obnoxiousness. Remember we talked about importunity and how importunity is, you know, it's almost, it borders on, it's like rudeness, it's like chutzpah, it's like you're at, you know, it's just like impolite, you know, constant. And I told you the story about Debbie in Washington, D.C. with, if you didn't hear the message, go back a couple weeks ago. Debbie was impudent with a usher in the Senate gallery, but it worked. And by the way, people were thanking us afterwards. She wanted me to make sure you knew that people were thanking her in the hallway. But I mean, we're talking about an extended harangue. This boldness that says, I'm going to keep coming. It's on the one hand, there is the reverence for who he is. On the other hand, there's the impudence of, I'm going to be brash. And God invites that. He invites that brashness, because I know as I'm talking, some of you are saying, that doesn't sound very respectful. There's the respect balanced with the boldness and the almost impolite rudeness that is embodied in this persistent, fervent crying out to God. It's like, on the one hand, God, hallowed be thy name. On the other hand, I'm going to bug you until I get it. And Jesus is the one who tells us to pray like that. It's very, very interesting. The word cry out to him. Notice as we go to the next verse there. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him? That means to shout in a tumultuous way. It's loud. You know, prayer at its best is very fervent. It's a whole heart, whole soul, whole being getting a hold of God. You know what stops a lot of Christians from really receiving from God? They pray half-hearted, disinterested prayers that cause themselves to yawn as they're doing it. Oswald Chambers said this, the majority of us are unable to fix our thoughts in prayer. We lie all abroad before God and do not rouse ourselves to lay hold of him. Consequently, we have wandering thoughts continually. I mean, half-hearted prayers are useless. This is the idea behind, and I don't have it for the screen, but in James where it says, Elijah was a man like us. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then it gives this example. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Literally, what it reads in the Greek is, he prayed. He doubly prayed. He prayed with intensity. A great way to translate, he prayed in his praying. You see, there's a prayer that doesn't pray. Spurgeon said that. There's a prayer that never really lays hold of God, that's lethargic, that's half-hearted, that's not passionate, that has little faith. Well, God, I guess I'll try it. Well, you know, God, you know, I'd love if you could do something about this. But I don't know. I don't even know what you, I, you know, and then you're gone on to something else mentally. It's the difference between that kind of prayer and the kind of the prayer that says, God, I gotta have this from you. Those two prayers are totally different. And when you look through the Psalter, fervent prayer, whole-souled prayer, the crying out to God, Psalm 5:2, look at it. Give attention to the sound of my cry. I mean, prayer at its best has an intensity. Psalm 22, listen to this. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I'm not silent. So is it wrong to pray in your mind? No, it's not wrong. But if that's all you're praying is doing, you're missing much of what prayer ought to be. There's a place for speaking our prayers. There's a place for crying out. There's some things that you just know you need God to do, and you will cry out to God until he does it. I mean, sometimes it takes that to get a hold of God. I think when Debbie broke her pelvis and we were struggling to get the kind of what we needed, it was a holiday, it was the 4th of July, and it was going from bad to worse. And so I watched it until I'd had all I could take. And what do you mean by that? I just felt so horrible for her. And I was like, you know what? I gotta be careful because I'm the pastor of James River, and I don't wanna disrupt everybody and create a bad testimony, which I would be capable of doing. I hate to tell you that. Shocking for you, but I could do that. But I know myself, and I'm like, you know what? The only thing I can do now is I gotta go pray. So it's 4th of July, I come in Clark Chapel. It's the advantage when you got the keys to the church. I went in there and I said, God, I need a miracle. Debbie needs a miracle. This is what I need, and I will not leave until I get it from you. For the next 2.5 hours, I called on God for my wife. God, I have to have you help her. There was a moment when I knew exactly that I'd touched heaven and I had what I needed. You know, you can learn a little bit of how I work. I was like, well, I was so awesome, I knew. And I was like, hey, God, while I got you on the line, he's like, go to the hospital and help your wife. I got there. I mean, we got things. There was a divine turnaround. I'm just simply saying that sometimes we have to cry out to God like that. The righteous cry out, Psalm 34 says, and the Lord hears them. Do you know Jesus was fervent in his prayer? Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 5. In the days of his flesh, Jesus had offered up prayers and supplications. How? With loud cries and tears. It's a place for this fervency of prayer. I'm not talking about emotion for emotion's sake, but sometimes when you know you're in trouble and you're really desperate, the only thing you can do is just cry out. Your whole heart, your whole soul. Charles Spurgeon said, the best style of prayer is that which cannot be called anything else but a cry. Now again, listen, I understand when we're talking about frequency and we're talking about fervency, that it's gotta be according to the will of God, I get that. That it can't be for our own selfish desires, I get that. But I'm just simply saying that a lot of us quit too soon and we aren't willing to persevere and we have the wrong attitude. We get the idea that because God didn't answer us the first time, he's not interested or he's not going to, and it's not for us, when nothing could be farther from the truth. The Lord wants us to persevere. The Lord wants us to keep on asking, keep on asking, keep on asking, and ask with the kind of faith that doesn't see the fact we didn't get it in that moment, doesn't see that as God not doing it, but says, I'm going to keep on till I receive. Or in those times when you just say, I'm absolutely desperate and I've got to have God come through and I'm here for as long as I need to be here. Listen, that is where an all-night prayer time comes in. And that's almost foreign in our American society that we would somehow spend all night praying and call. But I'm telling you what, sometimes when you need to get a hold of God, you just pray until you get a breakthrough. Old timers called it praying through. It's a part of prayer. Well, number three, and we're going to move quickly here. Musicians, you can come. Prayer and faithfulness. So there's prayer and frequency. There's prayer and fervency. There's prayer and faithfulness. Look at it, verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I mean, he says, listen to what the judge said. The judge did it, and he didn't care about God, and he didn't care about men. And he said, you know what? She keeps coming, and she's going to come forever, and so she's going to wear me out if she keeps doing that, so I'm going to give her what she wants. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, listen, if an unjust judge does it for that reason, will not a righteous, godly, loving, heavenly Father do it because you're his child, I'm his child, and we're coming to him? Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he'll see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, So again, this takes us back to Luke 17, end times. Jesus is saying in the end times, will he find that kind of faith on earth? Will he find people who really believe, who are really willing to persevere, who really understand that if I pray, even if the answer seems slow in coming, I pray and pray and pray and pray. Listen, here's why I'm saying this. I'm not saying this to you to in any way be condescending. I'm simply trying to challenge you because honestly, some of you desperately, hey, I read the prayer cards. I know what's going on out there. It's heartbreaking. But here's what I would say to you. The Lord knows where you're at, and the Lord wants to work in your life. The Lord wants to grow you in your prayer life. And this is a parable, and really some of you quit praying, and you said, you know, I guess it's not going to happen, when nothing could be farther from the truth. Some of you thought, God's not going to do it, when nothing could be farther from the truth. Some of you said, you know, I it must not be God's will, when that's not true either. And I'm simply saying, listen, there's a place for picking up that need that you desperately need that only God can meet. And it could be the sale of a house. It could be relative to your job. It could be something that is a physical or an emotional or a spiritual battle. It could be a relational issue. I mean, whatever your need is, I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a God who meets needs and he's faithful. Prayer and faithfulness. You be faithful to keep on praying and keep on praying, and God will be faithful to answer. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently, who earnestly, who fervently seek him. And God values your prayers. Do you realize that your prayers are incense at the altar in heaven? The Bible says that in Revelation chapter 5. The psalm says that he stores up our tears. When you cry a tear, the Lord stores them up. You know, in Acts chapter 10, it says, God says, sends an angel to Cornelius, and he says, your alms and your prayers have been heard by heaven. They've come before God. Listen, when you pray, he hears. You say, why does it take so long? There's a lot of things involved. There's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. There's development of your own life. All of these things we'll understand later. But that widow, listen, she didn't know whether it was going to be on that day or the next day. She hoped every day it would be that day. But if it wasn't, she was going to be back the next day. And she kept on knocking, she kept on knocking, she kept on knocking until one day he said, okay, you can have it if you'll leave me alone. And that's an unjust judge. If he'd do that, what would God do for you? He's faithful. And all I want you to think about is, as we come to this point in the prayer, is your next prayer might be the one that brings the answer. Because prayer, one of the things we know about prayer is prayer, it builds. As you pray about something, there's an accumulating weight of grace on the need. There's an accumulating weight of grace on the situation that builds almost like a reservoir filling and eventually begins to breach the dam until finally it bursts through and you get a breakthrough. Listen, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to touch you. He wants to help you. But pray, 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 pray. And don't give up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people who believe he's going to answer? Listen, you may pray for months. Keep believing. One of these days, he's answering this. I just know this. I know there's some things that you so know are the will of God that you just pray till they happen. There's some things that you just so know are God's will. You just say, you know what? I'm in it to win it. I'm in it till I get from you what only you can do for me. You're a faithful God, and I'm going to be faithful.